This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
There is, however, a report this morning in Louisville that Penn State has sent a plane to Louisville to get the president.
Hardest job in America, by the way.
Stop.
Did you know that?
Just stop it.
Mark Emmert yesterday, the president of the NCAA, said the hardest job in America is being a university president.
All right. Speaking of jobs being difficult, we're not quite to 22 yet. But you know what? On this program, we can look ahead. It's kind of what we do. Every once in a while, some like to look ahead more than others. That'd be me when it comes to schedules.
Well, wait a minute. I thought I asked you earlier about the ACC's Atlantic Division in football.
I'm not offering that yet.
Oh, okay. But you're good with this one.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued by this because when you start to think about next year or even a little bit this year in relationship to Gary Gate at Syracuse as lacrosse coach, Hubert Davis has unfolded his opening year at Chapel Hill. John Shire becomes Duke's head coach next year. Mario Cristobal's at Miami. Seemingly Tony Elliott at Virginia. New coach at Duke. Nina King, the athletic director at Duke, her first full year. She's already in the hunt for a football coach. Clemson's defensive coordinator? Who's got the most pressure next year?
That'd be us.
Wait, no, it's not about us. It can't be about us. It's about a list of
question. You don't like the answer. That's a whole separate issue.
But you see all these people. Now, wait a second. Who do you think? Mario Cristobal, Brent Pry, Virginia Tech, Hubert Davis, John Shire.
I'm going to say Mario Cristobal. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because I think the money that Miami is spending, which is great, right? Great. I think Miami fans expect, literally, we're going to walk in the door, we're going to flip the switch,
and go.
We're spending money, we got Dan Radakovich as our AD, we got Mario Cristobal as our guy,
right.
We got a quarterback that everybody in the country wants in TVD, why don't we go ahead and just start winning every game now? I think that the Miami mindset has always been, we're the U. Great. Flip it. I think there'll be more pressure on him than anybody that you're going to throw on this list. That's where I'm going to go.
Okay, Miami's yet to win an ACC title. They've played for it one time.
Right, and got smoked.
They've not won a national title in 20 years.
Right.
And now all of a sudden there's this, they've gone over and turned this faucet of cash on.
And the only reason I say that, Wes, is I go back to the radio show, that every time Miami gets off to a good start,
they're back.
I hear it. I hear it nationwide. It's not just an ACC thing. Back, the U is back. The U. And I'm always like, and I have the same answer to Miami fans as I do Texas fans. Because I hear that all the time. Man, Texas is back. Here's when you know you're back. Now here, listen to me.
I'm listening.
Because this is the truth. This is when you know you're back. Mm-hmm. When you stop telling me you're back. We'll know it.
Texas,
Miami, Nebraska, Tennessee. Mm. USC, all of you.
Right.
Michigan. Hey, you don't have to ask me about Michigan. You know what? I'm going to go watch them play in the college football playoff. That's when you know. You don't have to tell me. We'll know. But I think Miami fans are ready. They are hungry to get back into not only the conference, but the national scene as being a real, true player.
So out of this whole list, you think Cristobal?
That's my answer.
Because he is the... He's at the forefront of the entire operation at the University of Miami.
And you now have Dan Radakovich, in all likelihood, running the show, and he knows that business of, hey, we are in the football business. Mm-hmm. And the money apparently is there. I mean, people, you were talking the other day about an on-site stadium being built. I mean, Miami's thoughts are like, hey, we have now turned the page, and we are in.
Okay.
Let's go. And I think Miami expects that to happen. Listen, when Manny Diaz was there.
Oh, they got the indoor, and we thought, oh, there we go. They're in the game now. They were the last people to build the indoor.
We heard it then.
Right.
Hey, we got this. Here's Manny Diaz. He's one of our own. He knows our culture, yada, yada, yada. All the talk, yada, yada. I mean, so with Mario Cristobal coming home and the dollars are there, I mean, the contract he signed, I think the expectation level overnight – is a 10 on a 10 scale right, Miami?
Here's the thing I would say, and it would be applicable to Hubert Davis and John Shire. Hubert Davis this year, John Shire next year.
But they're different.
Because those programs are already there?
They're different. Both those guys are replacing legends. That is always hard. Always hard. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. That's a tough transition. Hubert knows UNC basketball inside and out.
Correct.
Right? John Shire knows Duke inside and out. When you replace all-time legends like Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, there will be a learning curve. It's always difficult. Mario Cristobal, what is he replacing? And I don't mean this to be disrespectful. It's not like, hey, he's gone from Jimmy Johnson, who's handing off the baton. Boom, you're the guy. You're inheriting, you know, incredible. He didn't inherit an incredible team. But the expectations is, guess what? Boom, right out of the gate, you've got to be that guy.
Well,
I think it's different with Miami football than it is Duke and North Carolina basketball.
I agree with you on that. And let's be candid. Since 2005, essentially, Miami's not been in the mix except for a sequence in the last 3 weeks of the regular season one time.
Well, Mark Richt had them.
That's what I'm saying. Right. 3 weeks, the last three weeks of the regular season, one time since 2005.
Right. In that particular year, they ended LLL.
Correct.
So, you know, but I just think I hear it enough that I think Miami fans think, hey, guess what? We are now ready. We got our guy. We got the financial backing. We got the quarterback. We're in a division that we think we should be able to take care of. And we'll take NC State, Clemson, Wake Forest, whoever shows up on the other side.
Well,
let's go play.
And let me also add this too, and I'll kind of couch this comment to Miami fans about Mario Cristobal and Dan Radakovich, but in particular the Cristobal nod in relation to what Hubert Davis and John Shire, all former players who are now back as head coaches, or in John's case, head coach next year. Here's the thing. As comfortable as the fan bases and donors and supporters of those respective institutions are with the idea of one of our own leading it, okay? You know this because we've touched on it a time or two, especially back in the old radio days. There's always going to be that small percentage that's going to change of the new guy. That new guy concept, regardless of his ties to the institution, his experience on the bench, in Hubert's case with Roy, in John's case with Coach K, there's always going to be this small percentage of change, right? It happens every time. It's just human nature. So that growth point of that change is something that you got to understand as a longtime fan at Duke or a longtime fan at Carolina or a longtime fan at Miami. Because that's why they're there. You wanted the comfort of those people who had experience in those programs one way or the other. And I think that's something you all have. Everybody has to accept that change no matter how comfortable it is. Does that make sense?
That's all fine and good, but you still got to go get it done, period.
You got to win the games.
Yeah, win games. I mean, you know, I said this the other day about facility upgrades and all that stuff. I'm like, hey, at the end of the day, all that's fine. That's got to be the icing. It can't be the cake. The cake are the people. You got to surround yourself with the right people. It's the people in the buildings. It's not the buildings. That's nice to have all the bells and whistles. That's all part of the salesmanship. But at the end of the day, man, when you go to work, that staff, mm-hmm. your players, your administration, your fan base, those are the people. That's got to be what makes it happen.
And I would say this too. Cristobal's most important statement the other day in his comments, bring it in tight.
He understands.
Bring it in tight.
He gets it.
And you know what? Gary Gates only going across the hall, right? I mean, a seemingly, catty corner across the hall at Syracuse from the women's lacrosse office to the men's lacrosse office. At the same time, when Gary Gates does that, there's still going to be that small percentage of change. I've seen it happen way too many times. And what that percentage of change is fine because this is exactly the situation. Everybody wants that continuity. Well, even in that continuity, there's still that much change. And that just happens. I've seen it happen way too many places.
Well, I always look at it, too, from a scrutiny standpoint with all these. And again, everybody you listed are really talented dudes.
Right.
Coaches and administration and all that stuff. But the scrutiny part is, if it doesn't work, who catches the most heat? I think that's how you got to look at trying to answer that question. And no disrespect to Gary Gate at Syracuse. I know Syracuse lacrosse is incredibly important.
Right.
Great tradition, great history. And there was massive change there. But if Miami football next year is just okay, you're going to hear people barking. You're going to hear people barking, and whether you think it's fair or not. Because the expectation level is that we're the U. You know, we got the quarterback. We're in the right league. We expect to be in the hunt from the get-go.
Right. I understand right? that.
So I just think you got to work kind of backwards to try to answer that question.
Yeah.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget we got another doubleheader. We got doubleheader Friday night, Pack, and a doubleheader Saturday. The Friday night one, number 2 NC State at Pittsburgh. Talking about the surprise Panthers here early with Lance White. They'll host Elisa Kunain and the Wolfpack at 6 o'clock. And then at 8, we'll send you to the KFC Yum Center. Chris Mack's the basketball coach tonight. We know that. DePaul in Louisville, 8 o'clock right here on ACCN, streaming live on the ESPN app. So there you go. Got all that?
I got it.
Yeah. Got all sorts of stuff going on in Derby City now. We're up for a fast finish at 9:45. It's starting to people sense 9:05. Well, let's do business today.
I think 10:05 is in play today.
Oh, 10:05 is totally in play.
We'll have some breaking news somewhere in the ACC.
You know what else is in play?
Kelly Gramlich.
The return of KG to this program. Kelly Gramlich, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. It is a pleasure to be here virtually, and I'm excited to talk some hoops.
See, we got to get KG to the basement.
Everybody's invited to the basement.
We got to get Kelly Gramlich in here to the basement.
You don't need an invite. Just come on.
Yeah, just show up. So next time you're rolling through. Okay, Georgia Tech, UConn tonight. The big story for the Huskies is Paige Becker's injury, which looked really bad, and thank goodness it's only, like they say in the world of medicine, 6 to 8 weeks. That seemed amazing to me. But Nell Fortner's team, Lorella Kubai, is off to a phenomenal start. She's had a 20-rebound game. What are we looking for tonight in Atlanta when the Huskies and Jackets square off?
I was saying to you guys when we were off air before I came on that I think Georgia Tech has a chance. Now, before Paige Beckers got hurt, I was very skeptical. And, of course, we send our thoughts and prayers for her. That injury looked rough. And to your point, Wes, the fact that she's not out for the season, could be back for March Madness, is great news. And we wish her a speedy recovery. But, you know, Georgia Tech has struggled so far this season, hasn't played like the top 25 team we thought they were. Now, that's because of a transfer and injuries. They really are trying to figure out who their point guard is. Loyal McQueen transferred. Kira Fletcher is hurt. So they're playing point guard by committee right now. But UConn is down to 3 guards. They don't have Azzie Fudd either, who is the big-time freshman phenom. And Georgia Tech has the size to compete with UConn. Georgia Tech is a defensive-minded team. They have to make this thing ugly. This game has to be in the 50s or the 60s. And I think without Beckers, it can be. It's in Atlanta. I saw Nell Fortner trying to get the crowd from the men's game to come to this game. I really hope people show up. It's a 7 o'clock game on ESPN2 tonight. I think it's definitely worth the watch. One thing Coach McGraw has told me, as she has been imparting a lot of her wisdom on me lately, is that if you don't play UConn regularly, it's very tough to beat them and very tough to know what it takes to beat them. So that's my main concern for Tech, is that none of these players have ever played UConn. So keep an eye on that, but I think it's going to be a great matchup.
But Kelly, do we get the Georgia Tech team that beats Georgia, or do we get the Georgia Tech team that just kind of sleptwalked against Auburn? I mean, who do we get on the Jacket side of the equation?
I think you get the team that beat Georgia, and Georgia's a good team. I had Georgia and Georgia Tech both at the very bottom of my top 25 this week. Georgia also beat Notre Dame earlier in the year. And, you know, after in that Auburn game, that was right after Loyal McQueen transferred. Georgia Tech did not know what they were doing. Like, they were still adjusting to not having a point guard. And in the Purdue game, Lotnin was hurt, and they still should have won that game and made their free throws. They made their free throws against Georgia. So I think they figured out what they need to do. Coach Nell Fortner, she's a great coach, but when you take away a point guard, it's tough to adjust in a couple days and go win a game. But I think she's had enough time now to adjust, and they will have a plan. So I think you're going to get the the Georgia version of Georgia Tech.
All right, let's move to Friday night. We just talked about Alisa Cunane and NC State going on the road to Pittsburgh. Lance White has done a great job. I mean, they're off to a phenomenal start. They've already surpassed last year's win total. But we're still talking about NC State here. We're still talking about the favorite, at least for the time being, to win the ACC. So is that too steep a hill for the Panthers to climb here or after this good start?
Well, before the season, I would have looked at this game and been like, okay, I mean, it's on TV and I'll watch it, but I'm not sure it's going to be any sort of game. Now, when I see what Pittsburgh's doing, I am super impressed with Pittsburgh. As Pack was saying, I apparently wore my Pittsburgh blue today and didn't really realize it. Pitt does have the best colors in the ACC, but I digress. They have been playing a lot better. I love what Lance White is doing. Rebounding is their identity. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. Well, guess what? Who's the best rebounding team, perhaps, in all of the ACC? It's NC State. So this rebounding matchup is going to be incredibly important. But Pitt has the size to play with NC State. I think the bottom line is, how healthy is Dashanet Harris? That's the big question. Can Jayla Everett get her 18 points and be a little more efficient? And then can Liatu King emerge? Because Pitt's going to need at least three players in double figures in this game. And then how do you contain Diamond Johnson? She's been a revelation for NC State. She's coming off the bench. She's playing like one of the best scoring point guards in all of the country. So I think this matchup is going to be much more watchable, if you will, than it was before the season. I still think NC State pulls it out, but it could be uncomfortable at the end.
Kelly, right now, obviously, NC State, Louisville seem to be 1 and 1A in the league. Louisville this weekend on Sunday has Kentucky. I don't care what the sport is. Anytime Louisville and Kentucky get together, it's going to be intense and it's going to be absolutely bonkers. But what about Jeff Wall's crowd here? Now, they get Kentucky coming to town. What do you think happens on Sunday?
I'm so excited for this game. I love that rivalry games are back. These two did not get to play last year. And I know Jeff Walls pretty well, and I know that he hates Kentucky. So I think he is going to be ready. He takes this game very seriously. It's in the Yum Center. Fans are back. Fans are packing out that place. And I want to mention the Louisville-Michigan game. I thought Jeff Walls in Louisville had an incredible plan. They pressed a team that is such a half-court team, and they're trying to get the ball inside on the block to Naz Hillman. The pressure and the defense that Louisville played against Michigan was incredibly impressive. I think they'll press Kentucky some. I think they're going to bring that defense that they've brought all year. They're fourth nationally in scoring defense. Only one player all season has scored 20 or more points against them, and that was Kate Reese from Arizona in the first game. On the other side, Kentucky has two great scorers in Ryan Howard and Williams, the transfer from Utah. So Louisville's going to have to lock in. I think this game starts defensively for Louisville. They're not scoring like they have in the past, but they don't need to because their defense has been excellent. So if this game is played in the 50s, Louisville wins. If this game is played in the 60s, high 60s or 70s, I think it's going to be tough for Louisville. But the defense they brought against Michigan was incredibly impressive. Engsler at the top of that press. She's been very active defensively. So this should be a defensive battle, and this is going to be a really good game.
All right. Ryan Howard, Haley Van Lith is worth your time, period, right? Those two just square off the eight, no offense. Those two are two of the best players in America, right?
They are. I mean, Ryan Howard is ridiculous. She's 6'2", and she can do everything. And she's, you know, been in college for, it seems like, 10 years. But she's incredible. I mean, she's a triple-double threat. Like, she can literally do everything. And so it'll be interesting to see who guards her. I think Emily Engsler will guard her a good bit just because she has size. Haley Van Lith is still one of the more talented players in the country. We have to see her emerge a little more and be more of a consistent offensive threat. I think she's still learning how to handle. Last year, it was Dana, number one on the scouting report.
Right.
This year, it's me. So I've got to learn to handle that pressure. But Louisville's just very balanced. Kiana Smith has been playing incredibly well. They're shooting the three ball really well. Like, as I said, Engsler looks really good. So I think Louisville's one of those teams that they might not have a player score 20, but they can have four, five, six players on a given night score 10, and that's the way they're going to beat you.
Haley Van Lith, that's Chester's favorite women's basketball player.
Yes, it's been
Chester noticed. Loves
yeah.
Haley Van
yeah,
Lith.
Yeah, the dog loves Haley
it's
Van
crazy.
Lith.
It's crazy. How about North Carolina? Man, the Heels are off to a blazing start so far. How about that?
They're not getting the credit they deserve. I'll tell you guys. I had UNC. I had six ACC teams in my latest AP poll, and I've been voting UNC for a couple weeks. And it's not – okay, they don't have a signature win, and you'll see that in my accounting. And their schedule just hasn't enabled them to do that yet. They played Minnesota in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They played a Washington team that's down. But the difference is they're playing teams like App State, and they're beating them by 50. I think that should matter. I think that should be seen by people. It's the way they're winning. And Deja Kelly has taken that next step. I think the biggest difference I've seen with UNC this year is they're cutting way down on their turnovers. And that's what you see when you see freshmen become sophomores and you see that growth and development that Coach Banghart is working with on this team. They've cut down on their turnovers. They're incredibly athletic. They can run. They've got weapons all over the place. So I'm excited as they get into ACC play and see how they're going to be challenged. But they're number two in the net because they've been blowing people out. And they've still played a good in terms of playing really good group of five teams and things like that. So I've had them ranked. I think they should be ranked. They just don't have that signature win. So some people who are looking at it from that perspective, that may be the reason. But they look really good, guys.
All right. Kelly Gramlich said accounting. I heard accounting. I heard AP poll voter as well, Pac, so you can turn some of the heat toward Kelly, right, coming down the road.
You know, the AP, whatever.
All right.
I said the net is my mistress.
The net is your mistress. That
the
is true.
The net is my mistress.
All right. All right, so you got accounting. Bless your heart. I can't wait. We're going to put this. This will get on social media.
No Sweet 16.
No Sweet 16? Come on, KG. What's up? Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, I didn't do a 16. I figured for my first one, we'll just ease on into it. Not as clever as Pac with all of his funny number 16s. But I've got NC State, Louisville at the top. I think Duke, they've been blowing people out too. And then they beat Iowa. And Iowa's a really good team. So I have Duke 3, Notre Dame 4. Notre Dame does have a loss to Georgia. But they blew out Syracuse. And they beat Oregon State. UNC 5, Georgia Tech 6, just because they've looked a little up and down. Virginia Tech, ugh. I still love Virginia Tech. I still love what they're doing. But they have some puzzling losses. They played Tennessee to the end, though. Florida State just hasn't really played anyone. But, of course, I still love Susan Brown, her squad. Syracuse jumps up because they blew out Ohio State. And that's incredibly impressive. So they've jumped up even though they have some bad losses. Pittsburgh looks good. They just got the win over Rutgers. Wake only has one loss, but it's the one Power 5 team they've played. Miami has played some good teams close. And then BC and Clemson, they both played Penn State, but BC blew them out and Clemson didn't. So that was my differentiator there. And then Virginia at the bottom. But I think the teams kind of 11 and up, perhaps 10 and up, 9 and up, they're all in the running for the NCAA tournament. I mean, you can make the argument the ACC is the best league. The SEC might have something to say about it. I think they're both elite, and it's just a great time to be watching and talking about women's hoops in the ACC.
Kelly, let me help you out. You know who I would have put 16 on your list? The entire Big Ten. The entire Big Ten. Because after that ACC Big Ten
Challenge. Dang it.
See there? I mean, the ACC total domination of the Big Ten in the challenge. I would have put the Big Ten, all of you. All you in the league, you're 16th in the Sweet 16 this week. That's what I would have done.
You know, I could have lost my AP vote doing that. So I want to be, you know, a little diplomatic. Yeah, but. Well. The ACC did dominate the Big Ten in that challenge, no doubt about it.
All right, Kelly, we have had this topic, and this plays right to you and Kwok, of this combination winning percentage in the ACC. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got football, men's and women's basketball. Wake's 26-5, NC State's 23-6. That's kind of where we've been. Give me a thought on the combination of teams here. And what you've seen so far, and who can change the course, by the way, of their fate on the women's side, you think?
It's interesting, right? Because we always talk about, well, if you're a football school, it's tough to be a basketball school. And you guys, I saw your accounting where Duke was 1 on the men's side, but they're 15 in football. And Pitt was 1 in football, but I think they're 15 in men's basketball. So it can be tough. Now, when I saw that tweet, I thought, okay, it's just a basketball team. So it's NC State women's basketball. Like that's the team I think of first. So if you're just pairing two together, it's NC State football and it's NC State women's hoops. Because NC State football, they were inches away from playing for an ACC title. And they're looking straight down the barrel of a 10-win season. And then NC State Women's Hoops is a Final Four contender and a national title contender. So those two combined, I think, are probably the best one I would go with. Now, Wake football and Wake men's hoops, I know the Wake men are off to a great start. Yep. They don't have the – they haven't played the kind of schedule that perhaps NC State women have. And when you look at it overall, you could argue it's Wake football, Wake men's hoops, Wake women's hoops. Yep. Because Jen Hoover still has the Deacs role in there. When you look at some – I was trying to rack my brain around some other options. But when you look at the football side, sometimes those basketball teams have let you down and vice versa. So right now – I think I would go with NC State with that question and then maybe Wake second.
Well, when in doubt, you got to break the tie with women's cross country, and NC State's got the national championship. So that's why you do it.
Kelly Gramlich, by the way.
Naturally.
Middays on 105.5 The Roar in the Upstate, kids. There you go.
Hey, by the way, is that
Wes, we've had absolutely nothing to talk about.
Hey, that radio station you got there in the Upstate, you guys ever going to pick up the Packer and Durham show? You need free parking? What's going on
there? Yeah, tell Milstead we need some Packer and Durham on there.
Yeah. What are you guys waiting on?
You know, I'll talk with them. I'll talk with them. Kwok and I have absolutely zero say. We just show up and do our show and talk about ridiculous things.
Who's
we
in charge, Walt?
Christmas,
who's in charge?
Office Christmas party attire yesterday.
Who's in
so
charge,
that's what we're getting
Walt?
Into these
who's,
days.
Who's
we have no
running
power.
The radio station, Kelly? Is it you and Kwok? Is it Ben?
It's
is
Ben.
It Walt?
Kwok and I have no power.
Unbelievable.
Ben.
I don't know, man. We got to get on in the. We got
to
get on in that market, don't we?
And how are we not on in the?
How are we not on in the?
You know, we have. We do have a legend named Mickey Plyler, so might be tough to unseat the legend.
Excuse me. Are you
Mickey Plyler?
I love Mickey. He's my guy. He's
Mickey,
a legend.
Come on now. Mickey's been there 100 years.
I know.
Mickey was there when Marconi turned the radio on.
I tell you what, if Mickey Plyler's not in your Sweet 16 next week, I'm going to be highly disappointed in you.
Look, if you guys are willing to talk Clemson every day for 3 hours, then you're welcome. You're welcome to join.
All right. Kelly, thank you. Be well. See you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Always something to talk about in these parts, the Atlantic Coast Conference. Whew. Coaches, ADs, transfer portal, you name it, we got it.
All right. We'll get you through the night. Of the ACC here in just a moment. We've already told you UConn, Georgia Tech over on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock. Mark Ennis, who is as locked in around Louisville as just about anybody, has this in the last few minutes. According to a source, Vince Tyree has turned down the offer to become Florida State's athletic director. It is unclear if he intends to remain the AD at Louisville or return to a private sector role. Yesterday, the board at the University of Louisville agreed to waive a non-compete clause and the 3-day notice in Vince Tyree's contract as athletic director at Louisville with the, I guess, potential understanding, because Ira Schoffel and Warchant.com also released yesterday that Vince Tyree was on the way to Tallahassee to be the new athletics director at Florida State. According to Mark, he's turned down that offer. So now, Neely Benapoundi, who is the president of the University of Louisville, according to sources also in Louisville, is, is on a plane to State College today, perhaps to be named the new president at Penn State. What do you got for me?
Well, ask me in about a half an hour. I may give you a different answer.
What's your answer right now?
I mean, I don't know the inner workings at Louisville. How we got to this position is even confusing to me.
Correct.
So, and I said to you earlier, you know, if you're unhappy with something, you need to get it off your plate ASAP. And that's true regardless of what you do for a living. So, you know, from where we sit here in the basement, to me, Vince has been a guy that brings a business acumen to the equation.
Right.
That's what he's a businessman. That's why I thought if he goes to Florida State, given their financials, that would probably be a great fit. I mean, right. It's a guy that really Florida State kind of needs that direction. So assuming that Mark's source is spot on, and like you said, he's dialed into everything you need to know about Louisville, you know, Florida State goes back to the drawing board under that scenario.
We'll now, see. Let me say this. I'm going to take Florida State to that side, and then we'll come back to Louisville on this. Andrea Adelson was with us 2 days ago now. Yes, 2 days ago, and we talked about Mike Alford being the executive director or president of Seminole Boosters, the fundraising organization that at times has been a separate entity away from athletics at Florida State. It's my understanding that they're trying to draw those two areas closer together in terms of operations. Mike Alford was the former athletics director at Central Michigan, who John Thrasher, the past president, not the current president of Florida State, I think brought to Tallahassee with the understanding that he was going to be the next athletics director of Florida State. John Thrasher left the presidency of Florida State a year early. So then they hire a new president who then wanted to potentially seek outside sources to join Mike Alford. There was thought that Vince Tyree and Mike Alford, as Andrea kind of had packaged in, at times in her conversation, those two would work kind of in harmony together. Who knows?
There's so many moving parts, Wes. I'll just wait for the press conference. You guys let us know.
Going to go with the let us know?
Just, you know, this is the hashtag not going to be able to make it routine I used to give you on radio. I've reached now the point with all of this with Louisville and Florida State.
Right.
Guys, y'all figure it out. When you're ready to announce it, just let us know and we'll be there for you. Because there's so many moving parts, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right. Back to kind of the combination topic we've talked about. Football's in the books. Basketball on the men's and women's side going together. Who's got the best combination running right now in the ACC? And a lot of social media activity on it. One is from Clutch Sports Wake Forest, who says, well, honestly, it's us.
Hey, if you got it, flaunt it.
Right.
Say it all the time. Yeah. Right now, it's good times in Winston-Salem.
Yeah. Perry Snow says, UNC hands down, there isn't another choice.
Well, no, there's plenty of choices.
There's choices, Perry. Yeah, appreciate that, though. Dave Wilcox, I know it's still early in the basketball season, but it looks like there aren't many holes in the Swiss. I see what you did there, Dave.
I got it, yeah.
10 wins in football, only one loss in basketball. Pretty strong. Yep.
Hard to disagree.
No, I mean, it's impressive what Wake Forest has done. At Pittsburgh Recap, Pitt, between women's basketball and football. I will say this, the job Lance White's to start there off to, really impressive.
Well, if we're going to use just those two, of course, mm-hmm. Kelly Gramlich just gave you the combination about NC State, would argue, but Pitt's got hardware in football.
Yep.
Right? At the end of the day, they got the belt, so that certainly helps, and Hoops has gotten off to a good start.
Yeah.
Now, we may ask the same question a month from now and get completely different answers.
I think that's where we're headed here. Jeff Prince says, if you're talking this year,
yes,
it has to be Wake Forest. Yeah.
How about if we were talking 2013? How would you answer the question? Hey, of course we're talking this year. Come on.
Surly Packer.
No, man. I mean, this year? No, 1964. That's what we're talking about. Yes, it's this year.
Chris Brown says, clearly it's the Deacs and it's not really close. Well,
that's not necessarily true.
Chris, it is close. It is Wake. They're 26-5, all three combined. NC State is three back in the win column, one back in the loss column. So it's closer than you may think.
I go back to that onside kick.
Great conversation, though. Great conversation about this combination start of football in both men's and women's basketball. And a good night of women's basketball ahead, too, and with UConn and Georgia Tech.
And I appreciate what Kelly said, too, going through her list real quick on the women's side about Virginia Tech. Because when she said, you know, I really like their team, they've had some strange losses. You know, we all thought Virginia Tech women's basketball was going to have one of those breakthrough top 25, if not better. They still could.
Right.
But it's been kind of a strange start for the Hokies. So just keep your eye on it. Again, it's still early in the process, but now 10 games in, you can start to make some deductions of what you think's good or bad right now in hoops.
Yeah.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a busy, crazy, unpredictable show.
Okay.
And like I said, just give us 15, 20 minutes. You have a completely different story. with what we're talking about right now.
All right.
But we're going to be on the lookout once we say adios here at the top of the hour.
This has got 10:05 written all over
our traditional 10:05 story breaks, right when we say goodbye to you.
For those of you that are new to the Packer and Durham program, because I know we're adding folks who drive by every day, or if not every week. Back in the old ACC Central radio days, it got to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Schools, they never said this to us, but you knew they were waiting.
No question. Yeah. They would release something at 10:05, and we would say goodbye.
Yeah.
And Wes would go his way, I'd go my way, and like by 10:15, we're texting each other, can you believe that the school XYZ just – it was unbelievable.
It was like 10:05 they'd wait. So
give a joke.
If we get a 10:05 today, we're going to start with it tomorrow.
That's right.
Just so you know, that'll be in the A block. Here's what we're waiting on as we go off the air today.
Do we have time to go through this?
Yeah. We think Tony Elliott is in the final processes of being named the head football coach at the University of Virginia.
Looks that way.
The Tigers offensive coordinator, who interviewed for the job formally on Monday, is in Charlottesville. There was video online of he and his family getting off a private jet at the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Airport yesterday. Pack, anticipate some sort of interview. Carla Williams, Jim Ryan, the president, Tony Elliott, looks to be the clubhouse leader for the Virginia job.
Right.
Okay, that's that. Dan Radakovich is accepting the Miami Athletics Director job. Day after Mario Cristobal was announced, Dan Radakovich is going to be hired by Miami as their director of athletics. It'll be his third ACC school after working at Georgia Tech, 9 years at Clemson, and now on to Miami where he once got his master's degree. So,
and speculation has that under that scenario, Graham Neff's really the perfect guy to replace Dan Radakovich. And if that's the case, I think that will be a totally seamless transition for Clemson.
That is correct. One of the more talented young athletic administrators in the country is Graham Neff at Clemson. Okay, so we go from there to Duke. We have no reports, anything of confirmed to say that they're down to this or that, although Jason Garrett's name has surfaced here in the last 48 hours as a viable candidate to become the next head football coach at Duke. Played at Princeton, most recently the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. It didn't end well about 3-4 weeks ago. He's also, prior to that, the head football coach of the Dallas Cowboys. If it happens, he'd be the second former Cowboy head coach to coach in the ACC at an institution. Chan Gailey at Georgia Tech. Jason Garrett would be at Duke. One would think that there may be more to this search, that it could carry through the weekend. We will see. Then we get to Louisville, where yesterday the Louisville Board of Trustees, in a meeting virtually featuring the president, Dr. Neely Benepoundi, voted to allow Vince Tyree to waive his no-compete clause and also a 3-day notice clause as his employment of athletic directorship at the University of Louisville. Okay? It then became evident last night that Dr. Neely Benepoundi could potentially be named the president at Penn State University as early as today. Early in the show today, we told you that Penn State had sent a plane from State College to Louisville. Again, people tracking flights like they're doing coaching searches. Within the last 15 minutes, Mark Ennis, who follows Louisville athletics closely, hosts a show on ESPN Radio in Louisville, has reported a source telling him Vince Tyree will not be leaving Louisville to go to Florida State as the athletic director, which we speculated at the start of the show today because warchant.com in Tallahassee said that was going to happen. Vince has turned down Florida State's offer. Now, is he going to stay at Louisville as the athletic director or return to his very successful business career in the private sector? We don't know that. Nor do we know that Dr. Benepoundi is going to get on the plane and go to State College. How am I doing so far?
You're all over it. You really are. I'm just disturbed that people actually find planes with presidents on it. That's kind of disturbing.
Well, I'm going to tell you, years ago when...
Coaches, I get. I get the fandom of a coaching search, or hey, he's on his way, or she's on his way. But the school president plane tracking system is a little disturbing. I got to tell you, that may be a first for me. I mean, I know Mark Emmert yesterday, the president of the NCAA.
Oh my goodness, I knew
said that university presidents have the hardest job in America, which is almost laughable.
Right.
That's what he said. Don't come after the messenger. But come on, man, we're tracking the plane for the president, not the president of the United States, not the president of an institution.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, what are we doing?
There you go.
Get a life.
All that leads us to this. We do have basketball tonight for you. In fact, we got a game on ACC Network at 8 o'clock tonight. Colgate visits Pittsburgh. Jeff Capel's team trying to find some momentum, man. Let's find some momentum.
Let me give you the first warning here.
Defend the line.
What's the BPI say up there?
46% for Pitt.
Say Colgate. I've already seen Colgate's act. They put a three bills on Syracuse, right? They put a 100 spot on Syracuse. Pitt better play hard. I mean, I know they had Virginia dead to rights the other night.
In the street.
I mean, that was just crazy how they let that thing get away. Give Virginia credit of finding a way. But Colgate is going to – that is no joke for Pitt tonight.
Yep.
Play hard.
NC State, by the way, hosts Bethune-Cookman tonight at 6:30. You can see that ball game on the on ACCNX and the ESPN app.
Not worried about that one.
7 o'clock ESPN2, UConn, and Georgia Tech.
That could be a problem.
Yeah. There is volleyball. We got three ACC teams left in the Sweet 16. That coverage on ESPNU this afternoon as well, and also the ESPN app. Florida and Louisville is at 1 o'clock on the U. Kansas Pitt at 1 o'clock on the app. And at 3 o'clock, NC State, Georgia Tech on the app. 1, 3, and 8.
Expectations, win them all, Wes.
A little leadership coming over here from the Packer portion of the program.
You got a chance. You're the higher seed. Volleyball has been good this year in the league. You got the number one overall seed. Pitt traditionally good. Georgia Tech's been on a run. Won all three of those to be W's.
All right.
W.
All right, let's check this one more time.
No, don't.
Yeah, let's check. You're getting fun. What do you think?
You're becoming addicted to it.
No, I'm not. I'm just checking here real quick. All right, nothing. Okay, we can go.
Where's the university president's plane? Is it over the Commonwealth
of Virginia
yet? Dude,
how unbelievable is that? Huh?
It's going through Delaware? What are we doing? I mean, who does that?
People.
No, like I said, I get it when it's a coach. Hey, we just signed Mario Cristobal. The plane's over Topeka. He's going to be landing in 2 hours. I get all of that. I have no issue with that. But when the school president, come on. What are we doing?
Who virtually showed up yesterday at a board meeting in a building that the boardroom was open to the media and they watched it on a big screen.
I just don't even understand it.
Louisville has been perfect.
I don't get it.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.